appreciate that special. I'd like today to turn to the book of John, chapter 4. Book of John, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 29. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 29. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he, Jesus, left Judea and departed unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour, or noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the well, shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am. And upon this came the disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? There's many things that can be preached from this passage of Scripture, many, many subjects. John is the only gospel writer that records this particular event. What we read here is a record of Jesus meeting a certain Samaritan woman. Her name is not given. What is recorded here is a conversation that took place between Jesus and this particular Samaritan woman. But it's more than a conversation. It's the record of how Jesus saved the soul of this woman. What is recorded here is simply another example, and there are many, just simply another example of the amazing grace of God. was recorded here as a reminder of the sovereignty of God in saving sinners. What is recorded here is the willingness of Christ to save sinners, the willingness of Christ to receive sinners, and the willingness of Christ to reveal Himself to sinners. But also what is recorded here is that salvation is not limited to social or ethic boundaries. It's not limited by prejudice, as we see here in the Samaritan woman. What is recorded here is just an example of what we read in Isaiah 65 and verse 1. The Lord said, I am found of them that sought me not. And certainly that is illustrated in this chapter. Here is a woman who found Christ, though she sought him not. We want to take the central thought of the message from the words of this Samaritan woman to her countrymen after the Lord had saved her soul. She went back home and she said, come, see a man. And she said that great excitement. There was a joy, there was a thrill, and there was a wonder, and there was a passion that filled her soul as she said, come see a man. Come see a man which told me all things. We want to speak, that's our subject this morning. Come see a man. And for everyone here who has experienced what we read here in our text, we pray that you would come see a man, that you would see him more clearly, the one who saved your soul. For those who have never experienced what is recorded here in John chapter 4, we pray that you would see him today for the first time. Come see a man. But everyone here, you have either experienced personally what we read of here in John 4, or you haven't. There's no in-betweens. You've either experienced this and can relate to it, or it means very little to you. Just a story. So we want to look at this passage of Scripture. First of all, we want to notice that Jesus and this Samaritan woman meet. We read in verse 3 that Jesus left Judea, began to head toward Galilee. In verse 4, we read that he must needs go through Samaria. There's a whole message there. That was not a geographical needs be. But Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. You see, there were two routes from Judea to Galilee, and the most direct route was right through Samaria. And the other was to bypass, to go around Samaria, and that was much longer and took much more time. And the reason for this, the very strict Jews, they would rather go all the way around Samaria than ever go through it. And the reason for this, of course, was they had a deep hatred for the Samaritans. And the reason for their hatred was the Samaritans basically were half Jews. They were the mixed breed as a result of the Assyrian captivity that we read of in the Old Testament. And the Jews, they're intermarried with the Assyrians. And there you have the Samaritans. So the Jews hated the Samaritans. Another thing is that the Samaritans were very guilty of revising history. And they built their own temple in opposition to the temple that was in Jerusalem. And they had their own system of worship. So for these reasons, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And they would not pass through Samaria. But we read here in verse 4 that it was absolutely necessary for Jesus to go through Samaria. And I believe the reason it was absolutely necessary is because there was one there that the Father had given him from eternity that he must save. There was more than one because we see others were saved also. And I am glad that there was a needs be that Jesus came to where I was. It wasn't an accident. It was an absolute necessity. We read in verse 5, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar." We are told in verse 6 that Jacob's well was there. Jesus was wearied because of his journey, so he sat on the well. From verse 8, we learn that Jesus had sent his disciples into the city to get food. Not so much because Jesus was hungry, but because this would be a one-on-one meeting between Jesus and this woman. As you read further down in the story, you see that when the disciples came with the food, Jesus wasn't hungry anymore. He had bread and meat that they knew nothing about, that is, spiritual food. So there's Jesus sitting on this well, waiting for a particular sinner to come. It is the sixth hour. That is, it was noon. And there is Jesus, Jacob's creator, sitting on Jacob's well. And there he sits. He is God incarnate. He is the very Son of God. He is the Master. He is the possessor of all things. The one and only Savior of sinners. And there he sits, this well. And he's there for a purpose. He's there for somebody, this Samaritan woman. So there he is in a particular place, waiting for a particular person. The one who sits at that well knows everything about this particular person. He knows everything about her past. He knows everything about her future. There is not anything that he does not know. And he knows that she's coming to that well. And he knows what she's going to do. He knows everything she's going to say. He knows the reason she's coming to that well. But more importantly, he knew what he was going to do also. The day the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, again, was a funeral home. I went to that funeral home not to be saved. Went there for a funeral. But Jesus was there. He was there for a different reason. And so it is here. Then we notice that the woman of Samaria comes to where Jesus is. Notice in verse 7. In verse 5 we read, "Then cometh he." Verse 7, "There cometh a woman." You draw a circle around both those phrases and a line to them. There's a connection. There's Jesus. "There cometh a woman." Here she comes. Jesus knew she'd be coming. You see, that's why he's there. That's why he had to go through Samaria. When she got there, he was there. Aren't you glad? The day the Lord saved you, when you got to that place, he was there. He was waiting. He knew what you would do. He knew what he would do. Now we read that she came to this particular well at the sixth hour or at noon. Well, that was not the usual time for women to draw their water. According to Genesis 24 and verse 11, the habit of women was to go to the wells and draw water in the cooler evening hours. It was not their habit. It was not their custom to go to the well at noon. She was also alone. It's not the custom of the women to go to the well alone. Not the custom to go there at noon. Not the custom to go there alone. But here she comes. It's noon. And she's all alone. And Jesus is waiting for her. You may ask, where were her friends? Where were the other women of the town? And most have speculated that the reason she came to the well alone was because she was so immoral, and the other women of the city had excluded her from their company. And the reason she came at noon was because she was an object of great scorn. And that was the time of day that she knew no one would be at that well. And all of that may be true, I don't know. But I'll tell you why I believe she came at that well at noon. Because it was the time of her salvation. And I'll tell you why I believe she came along. Because the Lord was going to deal with her one-on-one. So here she comes. It's noon, and she is all alone. She would arrive at the appointed place at the appointed time when Jesus would save her soul. And I'm so glad that there was an appointed place. The hour was fixed, and I was sure to be there. And he was there. And he was there to save my soul. I want you to notice in verse 7, she did not come seeking Christ. There cometh a woman of Samaria, notice, to draw water. Why was she coming? To draw water. What was her object in coming? To draw water. She had nothing else to do. She was only going there to draw water. She was not seeking Christ. She had no idea of who Christ was. She certainly did not know that he would be there. She came to draw water. She was not seeking Christ. But Christ is at that well, and he is seeking. That's how it was when you and I were saved. We weren't seeking him, but he was there, and he was seeking us. She came to that well for one reason only, to draw water. And I want you to know Jesus came to that well for one reason, and for one reason only, and that was to save her soul. So here she comes. She's all alone. It's in the heat of the day. She has her bucket, only planning to draw water, and then she will be on her way. Here she comes. A worldly, sensually minded individual, living a life of sin. She, like all sinners, she's vile. She's wicked, she's wretched, she's guilty, she is a violator of the very law of God. Here she comes. Here she comes to that particular well. She knows not Jesus Christ. She does not know her need of Jesus Christ. And she has no thoughts of Jesus Christ. She is simply coming to the well to draw water. That's it. Her life certainly is filled with dissatisfaction. She's had 5 husbands. The one she's living with now is not her husband. Her soul is dry and parched as the desert. Here she comes. She comes, she's needy. She doesn't even know it. She comes with her bucket, only intending to draw water. And the one who was sitting on that well, he knew everything about her. He knew everything she needed. But more importantly than that, he had everything she needed. So she arrives at the well. And we want to notice what transpired at this well. Christ initiated a conversation with her. There is Jesus. There is this woman of Samaria. They're now both at the same place. But they're there for two entirely different purposes. He is there to save her soul. That's his purpose. She is there to draw water. Which purpose would come to fruition? Which purpose would come to pass? So there they both are. They're there for two entirely different reasons. And then we read in verse 7, Jesus saith unto her, and he did so with a purpose, give me to drink. He spoke first. Had he not done so, that woman would have drawn her water. She would have never acknowledged that he was there, and she would have gone her way. But Christ initiated a conversation with her. A conversation that would ultimately lead to her salvation. Notice, again, he has the intention of saving her soul. When the Lord saved your soul, who started the chain of events that took place that day? The Lord did. And so it is here. He said, give me to drink. Notice he immediately calls her attention to himself. I believe she would have come. She would have ignored him. She would have drawn her water. She would have gone her way. Perhaps wondering, who was that man? I've never seen him before. But she would have gone her way. But Jesus called her attention to himself. Notice that word me. Give me to drink. So he has now got her attention. And when the Lord is going to deal with you, when the Lord is going to save a soul, he's going to get your attention. And it's going to be one-on-one. You and him. He says, give me to drink. Now the request that he made surprised her. We know that from verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She could see either from his speech or his dress, that he was a Jew. And she is saying, I can't believe my ears. Why would you, a Jew, ask a favor of a Samaritan? So, his request greatly shocked her. But notice also, she is blind to who he is. In verse 9, again, she said, how is it thou being a Jew? When she looked upon Jesus Christ that day, what did she see? A Jew. That's all she saw. She saw nothing else. All she saw was a Jew, a normal Jewish man. That's all she could see. Right before her eyes, and speaking directly to her in an audible voice, is God in the flesh, and all she can see is a Jew. You and I were no different. Right before her, speaking directly to her, was the holy, spotless, pure, impeccable Son of God. And all she can see is a Jew. That's all she can see. She saw nothing special about him. She saw nothing extraordinary about him. She was totally ignorant of whose presence she was in. She was in the presence of the Creator of all things, and she was ignorant of that fact. Thou being a Jew. And I believe she would have forever remained so had Jesus not pursued this conversation. She would have gone from that well never ever knowing who that man was. So it is with you and I. We saw no beauty in him. We saw nothing extraordinary about him. And the truth is, we would have gone our way and would still be on our way to hell had he not done something. Jesus didn't leave her in her ignorance. Jesus didn't leave her in her blindness. Notice what Jesus says. In verse 10. This is in response to her in verse 9. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him. And he would have given thee living water. Notice two phrases. If thou knewest, thou would have. If you only knew the gift of God, you would have immediately asked of me. And if you would have asked of me, I would have given thee the water of life. You see, she didn't know. She didn't know him. She didn't know her need. She didn't know that he was what she needed. And that's true of all lost sinners until the Lord deals with them. She was ignorant of the gift of God. And no sinner will ever ask for salvation until they are brought to know. The sinner has to be brought to realization of their awful and terrible condition before God. You see, the sinner, he can say all he wants to. You can tell him how wicked and how vile and how filthy he is, and he may say, I know. No, you don't know. Because if you knew, you would ask of Jesus. The very fact that you don't ask, the very fact that you don't fall down on your face before God and plead with Him to save your soul is evidence that you don't know. Every time a lost sinner goes out of this building, it is evidence that they don't know how vile and how wicked and how sinful they are. Because if they knew, they would drop to their knees and plead with God to save their soul. That's when you and I did that, when we knew. And that's the only time a sinner is going to do that, is when they know. So he says, if thou knewest, you would have. Then notice this woman's response to Christ's statement. She's like all sinners. This woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. And she goes on in verse 12. We've got to hurry on. What she's saying to Jesus here is, Sir, I have a bucket. You don't. Sir, I can get water from that well anytime. I have a bucket. You do not have a bucket. Jacob gave us that well. Are you greater than Jacob? What she's doing here is she's holding on to what she has. She's saying, I can get water from that well anytime I want. But you don't even have a bucket. She's holding on to what she has. She's holding on to what she knew. She did not know who she was talking to, but she knew this. She had a bucket. She had drawn water from that well before, and she could do so again. She's hanging on to what she knew. She's hanging on to what she knew would satisfy her. And I'm telling you, every single time, they may not admit it, but every single time a lost sinner walks out of this door, they do so holding on to what they think will suffice. I may not know what they're holding on to, but I promise you they are holding on to something. Something that they believe is going to suffice. And this woman, like all sinners, would have continued to do this had not Jesus pursued the matter. Jesus then, in verse 13, declares the utter vanity of earthly things in regard to salvation. He said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water, pointing to the well, is going to thirst again. You see, unsaved sinner, the thirst of soul is too deep to be quenched by the waters of this world. Materialism cannot quench what you need. Religion cannot quench. Position cannot do it. Fame cannot do it. Pleasure, good works, philosophy, lust. You can go on and on and on. None of those will ever quench the thirst that every lost soul has. Jesus then declares in verse 14, where real satisfaction of soul is found. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. She's holding on to that well. He's saying that that water cannot give you what you need, but I have what you need. Then in verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. She's not asking here to be saved. The clue, the whole thing here is that I thirst not. Everything to her at this point is physical. The only thing she is, she says, man, that sounds pretty good. I won't have to come to this well anymore with this bucket. Lord, I want that water. You see, relief from physical toil was the only thing she was interested in at this point. Now, this is when many would have had a repeat prayer. But Jesus wasn't done with her yet. Then notice, verse 15. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband. Come hither. Why did he do that? Reveal her sins. And The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that said thou truly. He now brought her face to face with her sins. And Jesus does this every single time he saves a soul. There's never an exception. And notice her reaction. Her reaction is the reaction you will get from every lost sinner that the Lord's not dealing with. Every lost sinner gives this reaction. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She changes the subject. She immediately changes the subject. The Lord has confronted her with her sin, and now she goes on and talks about her religion, talks about her worship. That's what the sinner will do. You tell them how wicked they are, how sinful they are, how desperately lost they are, and they will turn to you and tell you about their religion. In other words, I'm not that bad. I try to worship God. And as she spoke, and we don't have time, but you read these verses, she knew her Bible history. She knew her religious dogma. She knew what her religion believed. And she believed that the Messiah would come. She plainly stated that in verse 25. She said, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things. She's talking to him. And she doesn't even know it. And here it is. This is when the Lord saves her. Verse 26. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And again, the he is in italics. It's not in the original, and you can go all through the book of John. And you see Jesus saying that over and over, and every time he does, he reveals himself. She said, the Messiah shall come. And Jesus said, I am he. And now, he was no longer just a Jew. She could see. For the first time in her life, she not only saw her sin, she saw Jesus in all of his glory, in all of his majesty. It was right then and there that I believe the Lord saved her soul. She only came to draw water, but the Lord saved her soul that day. Then the disciples return, and we read in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way. Notice she left what she came for. She came to draw water, and she left her water pot. I don't believe she ever drew water. And she went into the city. The woman left her water pot. She now has a different plan. She now has a different purpose. She now has a different priority. She returned to her city without her water pot, without water from Jacob's well. But she now had the water of life springing up in her soul like a well. She didn't have any water from Jacob's well, but she now had living water. You see, she had been washed. She had been forgiven. She had been justified. She had been delivered. She had been changed. She had been saved. Her heart is bubbling over with joy. Her heart is bubbling over with excitement and love and passion. She says, come see a man. Come see a man. And that is the message that all need to hear. Come see a man. Come see the only one who can save your soul. Come see the only one who can forgive you your sins. The only one that you can find acceptance with God. Come see a man. Notice in John chapter 3, a man was saved, Nicodemus. John chapter 4, we have a woman. Whether male or female, all need to hear about this Jesus. Come see a man. In John chapter 3, it was a Jew. In John chapter 4, it's a Samaritan. All races, all nationalities need to hear about this man. In John chapter 3, it was a ruler of the Jews. John chapter 4, a lowly Samaritan woman. Every class of people. Every class of people need to hear. Come see a man. The first time in her life, she saw him. She saw him, and I know what she saw. You that are saved, you know what she saw. And the reason you know it is because you saw the same thing the day the Lord saved your soul. Up until that point, you met Jesus at a particular place. You didn't know who he was. Your eyes were blinded. But he opened your eyes. He revealed himself. You saw your sin. You saw him as your only hope. You trusted him. And you immediately went and told somebody. Immediately. That's what she did. Now you'll leave this building today. You'll leave it either saved or unsaved. You'll leave this building one of those two conditions. If you leave saved, you ought to leave rejoicing and praising God that the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul. If you leave unsaved, I promise you, you leave holding on to something. But I want you to know what you're holding on to will not suffice. It will not suffice. You may hold on to your upbringing. You may hold on to your religion. You may hold on to your good works. I'm telling you, you go ahead and hold on to those things. And if you die holding on to those things, you will spend eternity separated from God. There is only one, Jesus Christ. If you leave this building today lost, I know that you do not know. You do not know how sinful you are. You do not know what your soul deserves. You do not know the danger that you're in. And you do not know the one and only one who can save your soul. Because if you knew, you would fall down and plead with him to save you. The very fact that you leave unsaved declares they don't know. You've heard it, but you still don't know. Oh, I pray that the Lord would save your soul today. And oh, I rejoice. And oh, how we all ought to rejoice that have experienced what this woman experienced at that well. We all had a place where we met Jesus. He was there before we got there. And he was there and he was waiting for us. And whatever place that was in, you were in that place for one purpose. He was there for another. To save your soul. And guess which purpose went out? Thank the Lord. His. It always does. Brother Larry, if you'd come.